We've been studying the book of 1 John. Technically, it is, yes, it's referred to as a book, but it is also called an epistle. The letter that John wrote, yes, he wrote the Gospel of John, and now the epistle of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, right now in 1 John. And some exciting news for those of you who've been following along, we're going to hit more than three verses tonight. I know we've been digging deep and trying to go through some of that. Tonight we're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 29, as we see the reality and the importance of abiding in the truth. To abide literally means to remain or to dwell. We abide in our house. Aren't you thankful for your home? We abide in our bed, at least at nighttime, right? And we look back to sometimes, man, I wish I could stay in bed a little bit longer, or that nap time just a little longer. Snooze. Who invented snooze on an alarm clock anyway, right? I mean, that didn't help anybody. And so we think about abiding, staying, dwelling. But as we look at 1 John, John consistently reminds us about Christ, that we need to abide in Him, dwell in Him. And as we get into 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 tonight, we'll see the reality that you and I must abide in the truth. Because if we do, we will not be seduced. We won't be deceived with false doctrine, with untruth, with error. It's not just a mistake. It's not just wrong. That is, it's false doctrine. And sometimes we have a hard time saying, well, that's just not what we believe. Well, what does the Bible teach? And that's where we need to abide in Christ and abide in the truth and not be deceived. As we think about that tonight, as we think about it as we go through this week, there are so many different things that can deceive us from the reality of Christ is all. He's all I need. He's everything of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There are so many things in life that want to distract us from Him. The only protection that we have is through abiding in Him. Jesus is the vine. We are His branches. Abiding in Him. Jesus said in John 15, abide in me and I in you. And granted, that's the only way we can bear fruit spiritually, but that is the only way we can be protected from deception, as we'll see that this evening. Before we get into the Word, let's pray. Father, we come before You and we thank You so much for Your love and the opportunity that we have to worship You. God, I pray that You would help us tonight to abide in You, not just for tonight, but as we go throughout this week, to abide in the truth and to strive to live for You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, if we're reminded of prophecy and end times and what's going to happen at the end, we know the Antichrist, specific article, the Antichrist will come. And when we often hear Antichrist, we think of the Antichrist, the one who is opposed to Christ. But as John is writing here, he says there are many Antichrists. The word anti, or anti, the prefix anti, simply means against or opposite of. So one of the, we think of that in political realms. And we think of one of the big things, and I've been listening to some different things lately about abortion and those who are standing up against it, but we think anti-abortion. Well, no, we're pro-life. We aren't against, as much as we are against the taking of the unborn in the womb, we are pro-life. And our ladies had such a neat opportunity yesterday. Many of you ladies got to go on that neat, my mind's saying field trip, activity outing tour. There we go, pro-life tour that was scheduled for you. And get to see and hold some model-sized babies at different points of life in the womb. And we are pro-life. But we think many times people put anti as a negative thing. Well, when we think about Antichrist, it is a negative thing. It is against Christ. Well, who is Christ? The word Christ literally comes from a word that is for Messiah. The Old Testament Jews looked for the Messiah. Well, then this is Christ. And so we see there is one Christ. There are maybe many who claim to be Christ. Those are truly what? Antichrists. But really, we see an Antichrist is more than just those who claim to be Christ, but those who teach opposite of Christ. Sound doctrine. And John has been challenging us with this reality. Chapter 1 really went through that. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Manifested, or shown, demonstrated. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And so then we get all the way to chapter 2. And in verse 18 it says, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the, what? Wow. So here we're saying, well, the end times will come. But really, there are so many that are opposed to Christ. Jesus Christ could return at any time. We are in the last times. We are, I mean, you may say, well, it might be 50 years off. It could be tonight too. Are we ready? Are we living like it is tonight? And seeing the reality of that. But here, John is going through, and even in chapter 2, as he's talking, remember a couple weeks ago, we looked at the stages of growth. That from the young men from the little children to the young men to the fathers, and we saw the stages of spiritual growth. Here he's warning. There are those who are opposed to Christ. Christ is everything. What is the purpose of the church? It's all about Christ. It's that souls will get saved, and then that people would be discipled, which means follow Him, taught to follow after Him. It's all about Christ. That's why we have our activities. That's why we have different events that we host. It has to all be centered around that reality of it's got to be about Christ. Now here, John says, you know you're in the last time. There are many antichrists or an adversary or an opponent of the Messiah. Number one is we see the reality that I need to abide in the truth. We see that abide in Christ and protect yourself from deception. When I abide in Christ, I protect myself from deception. Germs, winter, wind airplanes. All sorts of these things. I mean, you think about the air being filtered again and again through a 12-hour flight or whatever. I mean, people take cold ease or all these different little things that they've come up with on airplanes to help protect me from germs. doTERRA, if you know your essential oils, has something. It's called On Guard, right? On Guard. And try to protect me from your germs, and I'm going to put that on my body. Thieves oil. How many of you heard of thieves oil? Is what my family knows about that. Yes. You do, Katira. Thieves oil, it goes back even to the point of the Black Plague. And it came from, in theory, this is what they're saying as it looks back, it came from thieves who during the Black Plague didn't want to get the Black Plague, but they wanted to take people's stuff who had the Black Plague. So what did they do? They took this mixture of oils and some internally they could take it or rub it on, and it on guard. It protected them against those germs. Well, what is the protection that we have against the antichrists, those who are opposed to Christ and the doctrine opposed to Christ? Is it, we got to go to church more? No, my pastor doesn't believe that. No, our church doesn't stand for that. No, what is our protection? It's the truth, the Word of God. We know Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He reminds us in John 17, Jesus prays, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy what? Word is truth. The only hope that you and I have for protection from deception is the Word of God. And it's not simply enough to spend, what, if we call Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you maybe get, what, 4 hours of the Word of God. But then there's singing and other things that go on. I mean, so we think about, wow, I need the Word of God how often? Every day. Those thieves who went in during the Black Plague, they didn't just rub it on themselves once. It's like every time they went, I don't want that stuff. We need protection from antichrists. We need protection from the world who's opposed to Christ. Remember our context. Remember last Sunday night we talked about verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And dealing with the aspect of the world and God. How do we have their protection? It's abiding in him. Because he then goes on, verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, or it might be shown or displayed, that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, literally an anointing. The word even means a smearing, if you will. The Holy Spirit, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit has come to live or dwell or what? Abide within. Aren't you thankful for that? There's protection from deception. And it's abiding in him. Abide in Christ and protect yourself from deception. Judge them by their fruit. See what he's saying here in verse 18, there are antichrists. There are many antichrists. How do you know them? Verse 19, by their fruit, by their actions. They went out from us. They weren't about us. They had nothing to do with us. There may be people who try to hang out for a while around Christian circles. There may be people who today take on the name Christian. But taking on a name Christian doesn't make someone a Christian. In fact, even today, in the recent past, the Latter-day Saints have taken on the term Christian. We're a Christian group. Well, the reality is, it is antichrist. It is opposed to Christ. The only way that we have hope from being protected from deception is abiding in the truth. And there are so many churches out there that don't want to follow the truth. There are so many individuals, it's not just religious ideas, but of the world. Who needs that? Eat, drink, and be merry. And so many philosophies. The way for protection is by being in Christ, abiding in him. Judge them by their fruit. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7. Turn back to Matthew chapter 7. We see this reality of abiding in him, judging by their fruit. Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in what? Sheep's clothing. We're reminded, as we sang earlier, kids, right? Jesus is the shepherd and we are his sheep, right? Sometimes people do that with the actions there. We are a shepherd, or he is the shepherd, we are his sheep. He says they can come in sheep's clothing. They can know the right words to say. Knowing the right words to say doesn't make someone a Christian. Looking like a Christian, cleaning up my life just enough to make it, hey, that man, they live, that's pretty good. That must be a Christian. They can come in with sheep's clothing, Jesus says. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. In Sunday school in the auditorium, we're talking about King Saul, and really today we started talking about his replacement. And that God didn't choose Eliab. He didn't choose Shammah. He didn't choose the others. Why? He chose David because of David's what? Heart. Because God looks on the inward. He says, beware of these false prophets, because inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Judge them by their fruit, their actions. Are they living for God? We think of the actions and how we're to judge a prophet in the Old Testament. Do they speak the truth of God? Does the prophecy come true? Well, we can know if they're of God. How do we know someone today whether or not they're of God? Yes, how they live, but also judging them by their teaching. We must know the Word of God. Man, I've been challenged about that. In my own life, do I really know the Word of God? Not just for some knowledge base, but do I really know the Word of God? And the ins and outs and how God wants to use it in my life. When you think about your trade or your occupation, you know the ins and outs. Maybe you've retired from it and you know those ins and outs. I mean, and you could do it in your sleep. I remember when I was a kid, we would go detasseling and deroguing. Does anybody know what that's about? Anybody heard of that? Okay, so good. Debbie's heard of that. Did you ever do it? Oh, you missed out on a blast. Deroguing is when you walk through a cornfield with a spade. And my dad sharpened them real sharp. You walk up to a corn stalk that's a rogue stalk. It doesn't belong. It's taller than the rest. Oh, that's not that variety. You'd go with a spade and you'd chop it off. Detasseling, when it gets a little taller. And those tassels come out on top and you what? Tassel. You take it out, and you've got certain rows you take it out. I remember doing that when I was probably junior high, maybe even a little younger than that. And that stuff was so tall at that point. I'm reaching some of them as high as I can get. But you know what I did when I closed my eyes at night? I was detasseling. I mean, that's all you're doing. You're walking down every row, and the cornfield's like, wow. That you do it in your sleep. You know the ins and outs. Well, do we know God's word that much that when there's deception, all of a sudden it's like, wait a second, something's wrong there. That's not the word of God. Wait a second, God doesn't teach that. See, John says, abide in Christ. Abide in the truth and protect yourself from deception. Judge them by their teaching. Remember, we go back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. And at the very end of verse 19, it says, that they might be made what? Manifest that they were not all of us. To make apparent or to show something. Oh, that's what that means? To show what it really is. You think about what a manifest is. If you're in shipping and receiving, I know John does that with Jiffy. What is a manifest? It tells you what's on that shipment. What did you get? Oh, nope, I didn't get that. Well, it was on the manifest, but it didn't come through. We think about that. It makes it apparent what you're supposed to have. That's like taking your shopping list and checking it off, and then checking it off when you got home and realized, I left that at the store. Or whatever, I mean, whatever it may be. Manifest, making it apparent. We abide in Christ and protect ourselves from deception. How? Because we judge others by their fruit, but we judge them by their teaching. Back to Matthew 7, we could look at verses 21 and following. You were there and we saw verse 15 that we'll know them by their fruits. But Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is God's will? That we all get saved. It is not, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. It's not simply, Jesus, you're my way to get to heaven. There is an act of repentance. That is an important part of salvation. And we think about that. It's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And so he's very clear with that. He says that, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Remember the context Jesus is talking about. Sheep's in wolves' clothing. Or wolves in sheep's clothing. There we go. I got it backwards there. Okay, you knew what I meant. So we think about that aspect. We don't want to be deceived. Man, anybody want to be deceived? You need a suburban part? Go see Bill. He won't deceive you. Right? But it's like, okay, so which used auto owners do I trust? What are they going to say about that engine? Is that true? Well, you know, you learn your ins and outs. Man, my wife's uncle is an auto salesman, and man, questions and whatnot. Man, I call him. I'm not going to be a fool when it comes to some of that stuff. I don't know it all. Well, who knows everything about the truth? God, because he's truth. When I abide in Christ, I protect myself from deception. And I need to do that every day because there is so much deception that comes my way. Whether it comes in the form of commercials on television, shows on television, commercials on the radio, shows on the radio, news, whatever it may be, there is so much deception that comes my way. That which is opposed to who? Christ, Antichrist. There are many Antichrists. Abide in Christ and protect yourself from deception. Number two, abide in Christ and listen to the teaching. Not simply, remember, yes, we judge them by their teaching, but it's not simply their teaching that we look at. Verse 20, back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Did they really know everything? Is there a time in the Bible when Satan, Lucifer, came to some people and said, eat that fruit and you'll know? Where at? In the what? In the garden. Adam and Eve. Oh, eat that fruit and you'll know. You'll know. And did they know? Did they then have the knowledge of good and evil? Oh, yeah. And they had that personal understanding of it. Well, the reality here is John's not saying, you know everything. You know the truth. And there comes a point where we grow in that truth. We learn more about that truth. I was saved when I was 4.5 years old. I realized I was a sinner, and I know I've shared this with you before, but man, I grew up in a Christian home, but I knew my sin was condemning me to hell. And I need to confess that before God. And he forgave me. I'm thankful for that. And I understood when I was 4.5 that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And that he rose again the third day. And he wants to forgive me of my sins. But you know, I've sure learned a lot more about what the Bible teaches about that whole process of all that Christ has done. I'm thankful for that. But I've been growing in that truth and in that knowledge. It's in the Word of God. I just wasn't mature enough to understand it. We think about babies. We don't feed our babies steak. We don't give Mariah steak for a reason. She can't chew it. Peter reminds us, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Abide in Christ. Not just so that I can be protected from deception, but so that I can learn the teaching. Learn the teaching of the Holy One, of God. Your knowledge is complete. Again, not that you know everything, but that it's complete, that he is the one who will lead us into all truth. And where is that truth? It's in the Word of God. It is recorded for us. There are many today who say, I have a word from God. I have a vision from God. But do they really? We're reminded, Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 13, that so many things will pass away, but that charity abides forever. Prophecies, they shall cease. Tongues, they shall pass. I mean, we can look through all these different things. But the reality is I can abide in the truth and be taught by the Holy One of God. John chapter 16. We're in 1 John, so go back to the Gospel of John chapter 16. As we're reminded of the Holy One, the Holy Spirit, John 16. Verse number 7, Jesus, of course, is speaking. If you've got a red letter edition Bible, you see he's been speaking for a little while here. But in verse number 7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." The Comforter being the Holy Spirit. When you and I come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, comes and dwells within, abides within. "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they," what? "Believe not on me," Antichrist, opposed to Christ. "Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now." He's talking to these men, these disciples. "Howbeit," verse 13, "when he," the Spirit of truth, "is come, he will guide you into all," what? "Truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." There is eternal hope. Last Sunday morning, we talked about the inheritance, and one of those things is being eternal salvation. But until we're saved, and until we get to go to heaven, we continue to learn the truth. And who guides us in the truth? The Holy Spirit does. The Word of God is evident. It is made clear through the spiritual understanding that God gives to us. So abide in Christ and listen to the teaching that he gives. Your knowledge is complete. It's interesting, we go back to 1 John chapter 2. In verse 20 again, he said, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth." You know the truth. It's been presented. He talked about it even in chapter 1. But you know the truth. You know Jesus. "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" He is what? Antichrist. "That denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the" what? "Beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life." So he's not saying you can lose that eternal life. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you have him in you, you always have him in you. Once you have that truth, you have it. Now, can we be deceived as followers of Christ, as believers? Yes. We need the protection from the Word of God. We need the teaching from the Holy Spirit. We need the teaching from the Word of God. You and I need the Word of God every day. Because, man, I need that protection, but I need that teaching. How am I going to go from here? Man, these decisions in life, how do I make them right and godly, and what do I do? How do I know what step next to take? God teaches us through His Word. There are practical things that we can pray and seek for God to lead us in, but that aren't specifically in the Word of God. Think about our collectively big decision we had to make beginning last fall. In August, we were able to come. Man, I remember finally getting to contact you, Brother Paul, and he was waiting for my email, and I sent it 2 weeks before. But the communication between Paul and my dad and me left off one character in Paul's email address, and he never got my information that I tried to send him. Well, finally it worked out that we came early in August. We were praying and you were praying, "God, would you have us all together?" Now, did we open up God's Word and go to the book of 1 John and say, "Okay, here we go. It says Josh Schweringa should be the next pastor"? No, of course not. But how do we make those decisions? How did we as a family pray and make that decision? How did you as a church family pray and make that decision? We're in the truth and letting God lead and direct us and teach us as we're daily in His Word. Oh, which car should I buy? Open up the Bible and it talks about a chariot. Ah, that's what I got to get. It's got to be the Mustang, right? Of course, that's not how we make decisions. But as we open up God's Word and let Him teach us every day, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You know, think about that. And in the day and age that David was writing that, the paths were dark. Rocky, some of them. And the lamp that wasn't very bright wasn't up here. Sometimes they would even tie it down to their ankles so they could see right where their foot was going. That didn't mean they got to see a whole 5 feet ahead of them, but they knew where they were going to put their foot. And in life, sometimes we don't see exactly where am I going to be in 5 feet. What am I going to do today, God? I will trust, I will obey. Will you teach me from your Word? I want you to. And that's been something God's really been working in my heart and teaching me about. God, will you teach me from your Word today? I need you. I need to abide in you so that you can teach me. So we see that we abide in Christ to be protected from deception. We abide in Christ so that we can listen to the teaching that God has for us. John 1:1-4 are that which we've heard from the beginning. John has shared even from the beginning. But then number three, abide in Christ and have confidence. Confidence in the next steps we take. Confidence that what we believe is true. There are so many things to believe. How do I know Jesus is really God? Have you ever played through some of those thoughts in your mind? I remember doing that. Well, what if this isn't the only way? In fact, what if this is the wrong way? Whoa, I mean, we go down that path, it gets scary. That's why we need to be protected from what? Deception. I need the Word of God. You ever doubted your salvation? Man, did I pray the right words? Well, it's not prayer. It's repentance. It's turning to Him. And learning, going through some of these things. Wow, wait a second. We go back, okay, so I'm protected from deception. I'm learning. He's teaching me from His Word. But then I abide in Christ and have confidence. Again, back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He hath promised us. Even what? Eternal life. Again, man, once you're saved, you're always saved. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If ye know that He is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Aren't you thankful for confidence in life? We can have confidence that Jesus is the only way, because He is. We can have confidence that God's Word is God's Word. It is. And we can look at so many different things. Yes, we can go back and we can look at archaeology, and we can pull some of these things out as we look at archaeology that does, if you will, proves the Bible's true. But we don't put our trust in archaeology. We put our trust in the Word of God. It is God's Word that is what changes us and what gives us the confidence for life. Abide in Christ and have confidence. Confidence in this world right now that you have eternal life. Aren't you thankful you have confidence? If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you don't have that confidence. Where will I go when I die? What is going to happen in my life? You can have that confidence. Confidence in this world that you have, even that eternal life that John was talking about. Confidence that your theology is right. What is theology? Quite literally, it means the study of God. Who is our God? What do we believe? Are the Muslims right? Maybe it's the Jehovah's Witness. Maybe it's a Latter-day Saint. I mean, we could go in our minds and be all this, but that's where the Word of God protects us from that deception. We go back to the Word of God and we have confidence that our theology is right. Confidence that this indeed is the very Word of God. God works in miraculous ways through His Word. Have you seen it in your life? I have. There's so many things we could go through and look at. But the reality that I have confidence, this is God's Word, and that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. And that left up to me, I couldn't do it. But I'm confident that Jesus has paid it all. And I'm thankful for that. And that not only can I trust Him for eternal life, I can trust Him for this life. That my theology is right. This passage is really dealing with right doctrine. Remember, Antichrist, those things that are opposed, or those ones who are opposed to Christ? Confidence that they aren't it. It's not their false doctrine, their false teaching, their false lifestyle. It is truly the Word of God. Abide in the truth. That's what it's about. Not just confidence that your theology is right, but confidence, here's a big word for you kids, that your methodology is right. Okay, there we go, your methodology. What is method? How I do something. Right? And so basically, how I live my life. It's not just what I believe, but it's how I live. Why don't you do that? Why don't you live that way? Why do you refrain from certain behaviors? Well, because my church teaches that I shouldn't do them. Well, no, it can't be that. It simply is abide in Him. It's Christ. It's the truth. The way I live is not because Pastor Josh says I shouldn't. Oh, man, I've never done that. Why? My parents didn't let me. Those are good reasons for you kids. But you kids then have to grow up and learn, wait, it's not because Mom and Dad said no. It's not because the church said, that's not best. It's because God said. That's what it's all about. Man, if I'm standing here giving you anything but God's Word, it's a waste of your time. Thank you. Because it is. And I don't want to waste your time. It's all about God's Word. And that's what you and I need every day. Abide in the truth. So tomorrow morning's coming. There are so many things, so many ones that want to deceive you tomorrow. No, we'll put on the protection of the Word of God. Ephesians 6, the armor of God. Are you doing it? Will you do it tomorrow? Don't be deceived. Your theology is right. Your methodology of, I don't do that because God's Word says, no, that is right. We live according to the Word of God. But not just confidence in this world, but confidence at His coming. Aren't you thankful for that? I know that I'm going to heaven someday when I die. Some people say, well, that's a pretty proud statement to make. Some religious people teach that, well, only so many people are going to go. Or you can never know. You've got to hopefully outweigh your goods with your bads. I know I'm going. My goods would never outweigh my bad. Ask my wife. Don't ask my wife. But I know that I couldn't be good enough. But Jesus was. And it wasn't simply that Jesus was good enough. Because Jesus was perfect, but just because Jesus was perfect didn't mean I could have forgiveness. Jesus took my punishment that I deserved. I deserved hell. Jesus didn't have to stay on that cross, but it's His love for you and me. I have confidence I'm going to heaven because Jesus has forgiven me of my sins. I've repented of my sins. Aren't you thankful? We have confidence in this life, and we can have confidence in life to come. Not just because, oh, you Baptists think you're the right ones. No, because we look at the Word of God and we say, God's Word is true. That's what I base my life on. That's how we as a church function, on the Word of God. So this week, tomorrow morning, let's abide in Him. One thing that Satan wants us to be deceived with is, it's okay to get upset and angry at that person who did wrong. One thing that Satan wants us to get deceived, whatever it may be, so many other things, deception is going to come. Will you be deceived? Eve knew the truth, but she was deceived. Let's abide in Him and let His Word protect us this week. Father, we thank You for Your love. Thank You for the opportunity that we have to abide in You. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. We're thankful, Jesus, that You came and You died for our sins. Help us to abide in the truth. We need You. We need You for confidence in this life and in life to come. We need You for deception, protection from that deception. We need You to teach us how to live. The only way we can have that is by abiding in Your Word. So would You help us this week to abide in You? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. God's Word is true. And Jesus loves you. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Will you turn to Christ? Repent. He's there. Wants to forgive you. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor Josh, I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out, but I sure will pray for you. Just with an uplifted hand, would you say, Pastor Josh, would you pray for me? I need to be saved. I need God to work. Amen. Amen. Don't leave before you talk with me, with someone. Jesus wants to save you. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor Josh, I know I'm saved, but I need to abide in His Word. There's some specific things God's challenged me with. I need protection. I need to be taught. I need that confidence. Would you pray for me, Pastor Josh? Anybody at all, just with an uplifted hand, Pastor Josh, pray. Amen. Amen. Oh, amen. Abide in Him and have that confidence. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, we thank You for Your love. We're thankful for the confidence that we can have in You. Thankful that Your Word wants to work. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe you just say, man, I want to get saved. I want to deal with it now. I'd be glad to send you with someone. Talk with me later. Maybe you say, Pastor Josh, I just want to commit before God that I abide in Him. Come on down, pray. I commit that to God fresh and anew. God, would you help me this week to abide in you? Oh, abide in him. To Jesus. If you know the words, let's sing in that chorus. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Brother Phil Jr., would you close us in prayer?